Amen. Well, you're very welcome to Liberty Church. There's another meeting out happening right now out in Bray. They just started at 11:30. And I'm glad to report that Bray service is full every week. Every week we have to look at other things to do out there to accommodate what God is doing in Bray. And on Easter Sunday, Rob told me he gave an altar call and 5 people gave their lives to the Lord in Bray on Easter Sunday. What a morning to become a Christian on the morning of resurrection. And then tonight at 6 o'clock, Liberty Church is in Clondalkin in Quarry Vale Community Centre. And at 6 o'clock in Finglas, in a place called The Hub, in Finglas West, I want to say. Because, you know, they're divided up over there, north, south, and... No, it's not north, south. I'm up in Finglas in. East, south, and west. That's right. And so over there in The Hub, which we just moved location and we've moved day and time to a Sunday evening in The Hub over there, and we are delighted to have actually, well, I'm delighted we've actually moved, and Tomo was delighted as well, eventually. And so we are delighted to be able just to be in these locations. And the thing is, if you want to come along to the evening service, do come along, because it's not just coming along to a service, we're there to reach a community. So it's not just like I'm going to do another religious activity, because that doesn't amount to a hill of beans in the end. But we're there to pray, to worship God, and to see God do what only God can do. And let me just encourage us about the blessed life. If you can put that slide back up again, Jamie, I'd really appreciate it. That this is the deal. I call this the blessed life challenge. Say challenge. Yeah, now say it like, wow, challenge. That sounds like Popeye, Jay. And then... But anyway, the reason why I put that word challenge is because I want to challenge us to get to one of these locations. We can put the locations up now, Jamie, at a different time, a different day. I want to challenge you to get there. So why do I want to challenge you to get there? Because the principles of living a blessed life, a full life in God, is really, really given down to us to access. Truth. For instance, here's a key that Jesus gave. We're all waiting on to be blessed. Jesus says, if you give, I'll give on to you. That's not Noel. That's not some church. That's God. So some people are waiting for something to happen. And Jesus says, I've given you the key to make it happen. And the blessed life is all about like generosity, multiplication. Hello. I don't want just add on anymore. I want multiplication of the seed that I sow of my generosity of my life. And if you're a meanie owl guts, I want to tell you this is the course for you. I'm sorry, I just have to say it as it is. If you're like, you don't know what it is, if you're not serving somewhere, if you're not giving of your life somewhere, you're a meanie guts. And there's something missing in your spiritual life. Because we can't be people who are being transformed into the image of Jesus and not be people that are generous. Because he was generous. Here's how generous he was. He laid down his life so you and I may have life. Now, I'm not trying to put anyone on a guilt trip. If your circumstances doesn't make that happen, we pray for a breakthrough. We pray for a door to open, whatever. So it's not like guilt or whatever. But if I'm just sitting there, if you believe in a lie, I've nothing to give. You're believing a lie. Just you is enough. Just your personality, your gift, your talent, who you are in God is enough. And if you're believing a lie, I have nothing to give. You need to put that lie underneath your foot. And you need to get truth from the scriptures that breaks the power of that lie. And you start believing the truth. And the truth will set you free. So here we are. Put them back up. Those who are leading these, your job is to recruit. To go and ask someone, will you come to my group? So with Chris and Sheila in Drimnagh. Chris and Sheila, will you stand up? Lovely couple. We've Keith and Anna. Anna's not in, but Keith is down the back. And they're going to, Keith, stand up. Yeah, this is embarrassing, I know. Who else here? Noel up in Clondalkin, that's me. Carol Dunn, she's in Bray location, but she has it in her house in Ballyfermot. There's Reuben in Bray, in the Methodist Church in Bray. There's Stephen Cassidy doing a men's group. Stephen was leading the... Look at that. What man wouldn't want to come to this group with this warrior? There's Louise in Swords. That's a ladies' group, isn't it? Yeah, that's a ladies group. Sorry for the not putting her in there. There's Dana in Kilkeels from the Bray location. There's Jason up in Balgaddy. Jay, will you stand up? That's a mixed group. There's the women's group in Bray. The bridge is a converted pub that is now a cafe that Christians have bought, and we are able to use that in Bray. We have Monday morning the women's group in Balgaddy. The lovely Breda, is she in? Yeah, Breda, stand up. We have a men's group starting on a Saturday morning with the great Stephen Conway. Steve, stand up. And then we have a young adults group with Greg and Becky. You both stand up, because I don't know if we put both your names in, because you probably would have killed me, Becky. Stand up. Now, Owen Island Bridge. Sorry, not Kilmaine. Becky's wrecking me. She's like a mother. Here's the thing, right? Guys, there's no reason for us not to get one. Not only are we going to do this, but there's fellowship, there's worship, there's education and inspiration. So we want, the challenge is that we fill these up for 6 weeks. And don't judge it after the first week. Commit to the challenge of 6 weeks. Apply the principles of your life and see will not God break through in your life. Because you know what? This is His promise, not ours. So look at the person beside you and say, you're going to one. And if not, so this is the key into heaven. If you don't go to one of these, you don't go to heaven. Nah, Jesus is the way to heaven. I'm only joking, you big jabronis. Well, Father, we want to say, Lord, we want for our lives what you want for our lives. And you said that we are blessed to be a blessing. And we want to be blessed so that we can bless this city, our neighbors, our work colleagues, our children, our friends, our families. Lord, just speak to our hearts. You need to be here. You need to be at that. You need to commit. I want you to get something. Tell us, Lord, you speak to us. The natural thing for us to do is to put these things on for you. And when we do the natural, God adds super to it. So we can do the natural of turning up, making the programs, making the space and the place and the face. Now, we want the super on top of that. And God says, He's the only one that can put the super on top of the natural. And we ask for that, Father. We ask for the supernatural power of your word right now, Lord, to go forth and to break this word up and to feed us and to strengthen us and to edify us in our walk with you, Lord. I just release breakthrough right now, Father, for your people. I release breakthrough thoughts and breakthrough power in each of our lives. Healing power, deliverance power, guidance power, so that we can be all that you've called us to be in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and can I tell you that I don't know whether I shared this here, so you're going to have to forgive me if you heard this already. But about 4 years ago or more, I remember Moira back there up in the prayer room upstairs, that she had a word about God going to release color and sound into the church. And from that time on, that grabbed my imagination. Because you can be reading your Bible, which is the Word of God, and you can be reading it through a lens. And God gives you different lenses. So, for instance, if you're in a season of rest, when you read Scripture, you're reading through, and you find rest everywhere. Or if you're in a season of you need a miracle, you'll see miracles everywhere. And so it's like God gives you a lens to look through the Word. And from that time on, I start reading the Word of God, looking for sound and color. And it's all over the Bible, by the way. All over. It's like, whoa, look at that there. Imagine what that sound was. And the wheels within the wheels with Ezekiel. Imagine the sounds that they were making. Imagine the sound in the throne room of millions upon millions of angels worshiping God. Imagine the sound that God hears from heaven on earth right now on a Sunday. All over the world, people worshiping God. 350 million Chinese are worshiping God this morning. They're not even allowed to be Christians over there. They reckon that the Indians, again, 2020, the Indian population will overtake the Chinese population of Christianity. Africa, my friend Jimmy Dunn was telling me, he was in a meeting in Nigeria. 800,000 people at one meeting. And he had communion. And he took an offering. He said it was like amazing ability and to they're all worshiping. You go, what's that sound like? We can hear us worshiping. We could go on the internet and probably hear another church worshiping. But imagine what God hears, the church all over the world worshiping him. People in little huts in Outer Mongolia, Nepal. As powerful as the 31,000 in the church that produced this blessed life of 31,000. But the God, the little people, is as beautiful to him as the orchestras. It's great, isn't it? And we were made to worship. We were made to sing. In fact, I think we should all have a sound theology. In fact, I believe we all have a sound theology. And God, for instance, see that word Yahweh. Every time we put a new word or a new word comes into a song, I always like, oh, we should explain that, guys, what that means. Or look up them words, talking to the worship team. Look up those words, because people probably go, who's Yahweh? I thought we worshiped Jesus. Do you know, we don't know. And Yahweh was a word in the Old Testament that they used, but they didn't even use the word Yahweh. Y-A-H-W-E-H. That's the right spelling? They only used letters, which was Y-W. Can you put it up? I can't. Yeah, Y-H-W-H. They only spelt it, they never said it because his name was so holy. And we get the chance to be able to sing it because of what Jesus done for us. Because he is our holiness. So we get to sing. And somebody once said that even them words, them letters, Y-H-W-H, that right? It was like the very words that God probably breathed into Adam when he made him. Yeah. Just breathing into him. The sound of God. Breathe into him. In fact, scientists have found this, that our DNA is encoded with musical notations. See, we all have a sound theology. The ancient philosophers used to say, they used to call it the universali musica. Meaning this, that when the universes move, they make a sound that's like music to Creator. What do you found? That not only has God put sound into the ocean and into the galaxies, they have this stuff on. They record all this stuff now. They're recording icebergs moving and finding the sounds that's in it. They're recording whales. They're recording stars that are oscillating, and they're able to put these things into sound. And then what they found in modern times, you look her up, what they found in modern times, that in our DNA, God has put musical notations. Meaning there's music. And maybe it wasn't just that God went, yeah, wah, wah, wah. Maybe he sung it into us. That's why music is so powerful, isn't it? We all have a sound theology. Like my sound theology, you want to hear it? I love songs. There you go. I'm not a heavy metaler. I used to be a punk rocker. Me and Sid Vicious and the Sex Pistols, we were. And yet, even on that album, The Great Rock and Roll Swindle, the songs that touched me most, or I was more into, was See That Girl Walking Down the Street. So now it's like 102, The Love Zone, me and Sharon. When I turn her on, I speak to the radio and I go, Lionel Richie, come on. Barry White, come on. You want to get me in Annie, you want me to buy your album? Just put a good few love songs with a ooh, ooh, and a ah, ah, and I'll buy it. But you have a sound theology. Could be, yeah, you know what, I love a bit of country music. A little bit of country. Could be ska, could be gospel, could be bluegrass. Be all joy. Anyone want to say what the sound is? Tin Lizzy. There you go. The guitar. The power. Anyone else? You're all chickens. You're afraid to go. On the Jimmy's like, I'm gonna tell them I'm into Barbra Streisand. Come on, you turkeys. What music do you like? Who? I need to take a note of them and find out. What sound are they? The country are they? What? Anyone else? That went down like a lead balloon. What? Mary Bourne. Jimmy likes Mary Bourne. Power ballads. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Simon and Garfunkel, a little bit of folk. Who? Charlie Lansbury. There you go. Country. Bob Seger. Len Cohen. Kylie Minogue. Oh, sorry, that was the other album. We all have a sound. But God has put a sound in us. Of praise. Of worship. Do you know Jesus sang? Do you know Jesus actually sang? And when you read it at the Last Supper, I think it's in the Gospel of Matthew. After the supper, they sang the Psalms. Never pictured Jesus singing, have you? But what was his sound? It was the Psalms. It was what God wrote about, even him. And what God put in David's heart to write about himself. And now Jesus was singing this with his disciples. He's put a song in us. When Jehoshaphat and the army, the king, was going out to fight an enemy army, you know what God told him to do? Sing your song. Terrify the enemy with your song. He's like, Lord, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem, kosher.
It's a bit of a Jewish joke there, if you didn't get it.
And they go out and they sing. And then they have the victory. And your song can be, God is going to get me through this for that season. Your song can be, God, it doesn't matter if you've never done another thing for me, I love you. Because this is a love story. This is a love song. There's times when it feels like a whoa or something is wrong. And you can sing them songs because David did. Nobody loves me. I'm nobody's child. And when you read David's woe songs, God always answered him. And he turned his mourning into dancing. And he says, David, you may weep for it tonight, and your song might be a weeping song. But I'm going to turn that weeping into a rejoicing song. Because that's the type of God he is. He's with us in every season, and there's a sound and a song for each season. That's why when you see true Psalms, all of the time, sing a new song, sing a new song. That season's over. You can have your song for that season, but now it's time for a new song. And the word for worship, which is not just it's not just like singing. Worship is everything we do unto the Lord. That's what worship is. But the part that we love, isn't it, singing? And when God made Adam, the word for worship is a word called kada. Say it, kada. Say it with a bit of a Jewish little thing here. Kada. So it means this, it means to bow down. It means to acknowledge that he's king. And it doesn't only mean to bow down. It means to put your forehead onto the ground like this. Can you imagine when God got down and shaped Adam and breathed into him? Maybe the first sound that Adam heard when he became a living being was this. God getting down and kissing him. Breathing his breath in. Adam wakes up with a And worship is this, is to bow down and to remember where we came from, dust. And to put our head into the ground or have an attitude of that. Putting our head into the ground saying, Lord, the dust that you made is singing to you. That I remember where you come from. I've come from. When you're down with your head on the ground, with your forehead on the ground, it's the only position that you can be in where your heart is above your head. And that's where we've to worship from. There, you know our head gets in the way, don't we? I learned this week, they're reckoning in the next couple of years that they're going to be able to do a head transplant. That's what I read. I don't know whether it's going to be true or not. Some of us need a head transplant, to be honest. Because we allow our head to get in the way of what's in our hearts. And we allow our head to rob the song of God that he's put in our hearts. And that's why the Bible says, it doesn't say I'll give you a head transplant, but I'll give you a mind transplant. I'll renew your mind according to my word. I will renew the song that goes on in there, that tape recorder or CD. It's gone beyond CDs and all. I sent Derek a text. Will you be able to make a CD of a prophecy for somebody? He goes, he sends me back a text. Who uses CDs now? The generations are moving so quick. It's like, I'm saying tape and I think that's old. Like I'm saying CDs to him and he thinks that's old. But what's that that's going around? God says, look, here's the way to put a new song in. Read my word. Get the song of my word into you. What's God saying over me and to me? And see, will we not go out with rejoicing? Do you know the scripture? Forgive me, I'm going to say it wrong. But it was like something like David says, how blessed I was when the people says, let's go up to the house of the Lord. Why? Because he was hearing the singing to God up there. And no matter what he came in the doorway, he says, when I go up there, they're going to be singing songs of thanksgiving. They're going to be saying, God, you're great. Even the oceans praise you. Did you hear that song about Yahweh? Even this, and then when we sing our songs, he's like, he's drawing out us what he's put in us, what he's put into the future. See, Jesus is always drawing us to the future. Always. He's not pushing us from our past to the future. He's drawing us into our call, into our song, into what he has for us. He's always beckoning us forward to come out of that place. Lazarus, come out. Come out of the past. Come out of the death. I'm calling you to your future. And all, even if it smells like death and looks like death, when you hear the word of the Lord, you're like Adam, that you come alive. And he allows us to sing. Who wants a new song? Who wants, you have a sound theology. We're just going to have to release it for you. We're just going to have to get you singing it. I went on a walk yesterday, down along the Liffey. Great, it was a regatta on, all these races along the Liffey. And people wearing suits that I've never even seen before with a college crest on it. It was really, really a great type of a setting or whatever. And I started to sing a song to the Lord. Not out loud that everyone thought, look at your man walking along singing. But it was loud enough for me to be able, because somehow your condition, your body is made for you to be able to hear yourself singing. That's why you never stand near the speaker in the concert or anything, because you sing over it and then you come out hoarse. It's true, isn't it? I walked down, I'd love to remember the tune, because if I could remember it, it'd be a number one hit. But it's a love song, it's between me and God. And I just started singing that, Lord, your love fits me like a glove. I tell you, hello, I'm going to write a song. And it was all about, let me even remember the words. Don't be discouraged, I love you. I love you. It was all this, I love you. And then in an instant, it was like, I was singing, no, Lord, I love you. Why not? I love you. Why could I say that? Because I know he loves me. And the more I knew he loves me, the more I could sing my love song to him. And I want to release it in us. There's nothing to do with my sermon, by the way. The whole scripture's there. But God wants to do something and release a sound that terrifies an enemy. What do we have to do to shut them up? You can't shut us up. The enemy has tried for years. Like even in the book of Acts, the enemy came against the church and scattered them. Do you know all he done was scattered the song and the sound of the Lord all over the known earth? If he was wise, he could have contained into Jerusalem. And he sends his persecution, and all what happened was they went to Ephesus, they went to Turkey, to Iran, Iraq, and all they done was sang the song of the Lord. They didn't write Amazing Grace back then, but that's probably the types of song they were singing. You think you're going to show us up? They go to another place and all they're singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you know what I mean? They go down there, and you know what they start doing? Taking the saints of God and the people of God and putting them into places like letting the lions eat them. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Write that down and read it. Look her up. Read about the saints, the Christians, the Ewes, the Jimmies and the Noels, the Jasons, the Stevens, the people like us. They weren't super people. They were just us. And they put flax around them like this woolen type of thing and set them on fire to light up the arenas for the gladiators to fight. Do you know what's recorded? They're singing. They're singing songs of the Lord. It's like you can't shut us up. The more you try to shut us up, the louder the song gets. And so people are terrified, oh, what's going to happen in the 21st century in the persecution of the church? Do you know all of this fear-mongering stuff? And I'm not saying it's not real. Just ask the people that had their kids' heads cut off in places in the Middle East. And that's real. But there's a song that the Lord is releasing in the air, even in those people. I heard a testimony of a mother whose son got cut off in the Middle East, in Syria that time. And the mother was thanking the killers for giving her a martyr in heaven. Because there's a special place for martyrs in heaven. You're like, what do we have to do? Cut their heads off, they don't stop singing. Throw them to lions, they don't stop singing. Burn them at the stake, they don't stop singing. Persecute them, that just spreads the song out more. It's pretty powerful stuff what God has given us. Sound overcomes depression, overcomes diseases. Look her up on the internet. Look her up at what the scientists and the experts are saying about what sound does. You can put a kid in that has absolutely incredible difficulties with the likes of like their perception of light and colors and all. What's that? Autism. And put them in a room and things outside and the magnitude of sound and people and all can absolutely freak a little kid out. Put them in a room with sound. How powerful this stuff is. And God was the one that introduced it. Do you remember in Genesis, he says, let there be lights. Spoke. Into your chaos, let there be lights. So you were in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Can you just imagine Jesus coming out singing? Where was he going when he was coming out singing? He was coming from the Last Supper into the Garden of Gethsemane. And they were singing songs, like the songs that they were singing called the songs of the Halal, which is the first part of Hallelujah, the songs of the Hallelujah, the songs of praise, the cup of praise. So he's entering into the, and here's, you can read up Psalm 100, I think it's Psalm 114 to 118 at the Hallelujah Psalms. And Jesus coming out of the Last Supper, entering into the Garden of Gethsemane, entering into that agonizing moment. And one of the Psalms, Psalm 18, says, this is the day. That's where that scripture is. He's gone. The Lamb is not being dragged to his death. The Lamb is singing his way into the Garden of Gethsemane. It's not like some defenseless lamb in the Old Testament being dragged in. Jesus willingly laid down his life. No one took Jesus' life. No devil, no world took Jesus' life. I'm not strong enough. There wasn't even a contest with Jesus and the devil. We need to get that right because there's propaganda that he puts out there that he's powerful and more powerful than God. And sometimes we believe it. Where all we were doing was believing a lie. There wasn't like a contest. There wasn't the boxing match between Satan and Jesus. Satan wasn't even at the race. It was Jesus overcoming death. It was Jesus taking the wrath of God for us. Whose plan was it? His Father's. And Jesus willingly came and laid down his life. And he goes out of the party of the Last Supper singing. Read the Psalms. Now read the Psalms, Psalm 140 to 18, through those eyes. And you can see Jesus talking to his Father and singing the Halal songs to his Father. You're like, wow. He sings that stuff in it. Father, when I called to you, you're going to hear me. Now read it through the eyes of someone going to the cross. Psalm 22, the wolves of Bashan were around his head. Had activity on the cross. Talks about his suffering at the cross in Psalm 22. And he's singing songs going out to that. Saying, Father, I know you won't leave me. I know you won't forsake me. Incredible stuff. Imagine the wolves of Bashan, the demons going around Jesus' head. You're gone now, you're done in. Jesus, now I enter this singing. And I will leave this place singing. And I'll enter into singing. And I'll win people and buy a people for my Father who will be singers. I think it's incredible. Here's the scripture. Let me go through this quick, yeah? Here's what it says about David's mighty men. It says, these were the chiefs of David's mighty warriors. They together with all of Israel gave his kingship support, strong support, to extend it all over the land as the Lord had promised. This is the list of David's warriors. There was Jeshobeam, a Hakonite, Never go near a Hakamui. Was the chief of the officers, and he raised a spear against 300 men whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodi, one of the three mighty warriors. He was with David at Pashtanim when the Philistines gathered there for a battle at a place where there was a field full of barley. The troops fled from the Philistines. The Israelites fled from the Philistines. But Eleazar took a stand in the middle of the field and defended it and struck the Philistines down. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day. Say that day. Because that's where we're going to land in 10 minutes. So Eleazar was one of David's mighty men. He was one of the mighty three. There was 300, there was 30, and there was three. And then there was one. David had this people around him that, like, he hung out with warriors, and warriors hung out with David. And the first little thing that I heard a guy speak, just a dream, just for one moment, he says, make sure you're hanging out with the right people. Make sure you're hanging out with people that are doing the exploits of God, that are living for God, that are loving God. Make sure, if birds of a feather flock together, well, then flock with the right birds. Hello. And if you said that in another way, I don't know what way that would have come out. Birds of a feather do flock together, so make sure you're flocking with the right birds. Because if you flock with the wrong birds, you become like them. And the Bible says this, if you hang around with a fool, you become a fool. If you hang around with someone that has no regard for the presence of the things of God, you become like them. You don't intend to be like them, but you become like them. Hang out with gossipers, you gossip. Hang out with robbers, you rob. No matter, put it across the board. We apply this stuff to our children, we don't apply it to our own lives. Hang around with prayer warriors, you become a prayer warrior. And Eleazar hung out with David and his men. And the things that David done, he done. And the promises of God that David gave, God gave to David, he came into the promises of God for himself. And here's what happened. The Philistines came against the field with the barley in it. And when all of the people of God seen the army coming, Eleazar stood. He stood up. And this is our year of turnaround. Do you remember? This is a year of turnarounds. But there's steps to turnarounds. God has given us keys to access what he has for us. And there is an enemy that's after our... His barley field was his inheritance. It was something that he was going to pass on to his children. It was a dream piece of land that maybe eventually he was going to build when there was peace in the land. And the enemy had come against his field. And he stood up. And one area of getting a turnaround is that we have to... He didn't stand up first. Let me say, he stepped up. So when everybody was running, he stepped up. When everybody was like, we're going to lose this battle, he says, I'm not losing this battle because this is my inheritance. God has given us this as a promise. And he says, everyone else can run, but I'm not running. I'm going to stand here and believe that God will give me a victory. And he stood there, and in 1 Samuel, this story is said again, and it says that his hand froze to his sword. Like him and the weapon became one. And he stepped up and he says, there's no one taking my future. There's no one taking my children's future. There's nobody taking, and we have to step up to have to turn around. No one taking my marriage. There's no one taking my children. No one taking my grandchildren. No one taking my mind, my barley field. And he stepped up right into it. And he says, no, I'm going to believe God for a victory. And he stepped up into it. And God is calling some of us to step up into it. Enough of stepping back. It's time to step up. It's time to step up and be a man of God. It's time to step up and be a woman of God. It's time to put ourselves right in the battle line of what we're trying to defend and try to keep and try to gain for our future. It's time to become prayer warriors. Because here's the thing, prayer warriors are not the only prayer warriors. We're all supposed to be prayer warriors for airfields. No, this is my kid's future I'm talking about. This is my parcel of land. This is my inheritance. And no way I'm going. And he stepped up. Eleazar stepped up. And not only did he step up, but he stood up. He stood up in the middle of the field to achieve his goals. When everyone else, he goes, no, I'm here. I tell you, there's a lot to be said for people that are just here. They make everything stable, don't they? The here people. The ones that just step up and go, I don't know who's going to walk through the door, but I know such and such is. I don't know who's going to be at the blessed life, but I know such and such is. I don't know who's going to stand with me in prayer, but I know this person is. He didn't only just step up into the field to have a fight, but he stood tall and he stood strong. And he stood long enough to achieve his battle. And he didn't only step up and stood up, but he struck up. I was trying to look for something that rhymed. But he struck up a rhythm with his sword that when the enemy was humming against him, he struck up this rhythm of battling and fighting and winning and striking down his enemy. That he found his rhythm in God. He found his rhythm because he stepped up and he stood, and God gave him the rhythm to gain the victory. Now, this is the way to wield a sword when you want to take someone out from the legs up. Boom. This is how you crush a stronghold. Boom. Then Paul says that we've not only to look at strongholds, pray about strongholds. Paul says we have to demolish strongholds. It's like we have to strike up the rhythm in God. And that rhythm might be just singing your song. If you don't think God is into rhythm, just listen to the rhythm of your heart for a moment. God loves a bit of rhythm and blues. You don't think God is into rhythm? Just look, listen to your vocal cords. Cords are always attached to something, aren't they? For worship and praise of God, they're attached to our heart. Because where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. And if Jesus is our treasure, well, he'll have our hearts. Don't settle for anything else other than a love romance with Jesus. Don't settle for religion. Don't settle for tick the boxes. Settle for this wild, romantic adventure that you can have with Jesus. The songs are not hard when you're in love, aren't they not? They're not. Religion, you have to strike up an old song. Get it going. When you're in love, love is in the air. Here we go. Everywhere we look around. It really is. But he struck up a rhythm. Everything that came against him, he had this rhythm to strike it down. Why? Because he stepped up and he stood up. And you think, well, look, if I step up, if I get knocked down. Listen, standing up is natural. If you do the natural, God puts the super on top of it. Because stepping up is natural. But gaining a victory is when the super is on top of it. It says at the bottom, and that's why I got you to say, on that day, God brought about great victory. See, it wasn't that Eliezer was supernatural, but he was natural. And he stepped up and God put the super on it. There you go, son, there's a victory on that day. And I want to say, your that day is coming. I want to prophesy it over your life that your that day is coming. As you step up, as you stand up, as you strike with the rhythm of God, your victory is on the way. On that day, whatever you're praying for, people that are praying for marriages, people that are praying for children, jobs, people that are praying for the future ministry, I want to tell you, your that day is coming. But you and I have to do the natural. We have to step up so he can put super on top of that natural action so that we can have the victory of the Lord. Something that you're believing for to materialize, that day is coming. Something that you're standing for something to change, that day is coming. You're stepping up to take hold of your inheritance, the victory of that day is coming. Believing for signs and wonders. Believing for healing in your body. That day is coming. Healing in your heart. That day is coming. Healing in your family. That day is coming. It's great to have such a confidence in this God that we serve. Someone was saying to me that their family's life was all over the place. Their extended family. It's like, that day is coming. Because God's heart is for reconciliation. God's heart is to bring families that are shattered. Marriages that are this way, and God brings them this way, and they're standing in the churches all over the world praising Him. The thing that you're striking out at your enemy to gain a victory, that day is coming. And what we have to find out is, what's your next step? Well, you have to ask God, and you probably know it already. What is your next step? I remember when I became a Christian all those years ago. I can't even remember now. Was it 26 or 27 years? And I was in St. Mark's. That was my home church, and St. Mark's sent me out. I was only ever in two churches in my life. That one that I went to and this one that. They sent me out to stay. And so anyway, one of the times in there, and it was great and wild and amazing. And there was a man speaking called Samuel Doctorian. Small little Lebanese preacher from the Lebanon. And he was always singing, by the way. And he was preaching one day, and all the stuff I came out of as a Christian, the one thing I couldn't give up was smoking cigarettes. And in fact, so that day Samuel was speaking, and this is where it was like, well, if you want to be delivered from cigarettes, that's not a Lebanese accent, by the way, but it's the best accent I can come up with now, right? It's a stand up. So I was like, yeah, I want to be free from this. I stood up. And he says, if you want to be free from these, he says, take your cigarettes and throw them out to the front. So Quentin Major and Whoopoins and flying up from everywhere. And then Samuel said, and I want you to come out and stand on them. I told you it was a bit wild, but it was brilliant. Give us a bit of wildness, Lord. Take all this conservatism out of us. Self-consciousness out of us. Anyway, I stood there and I took my smokes out. It was actually tobacco. And I said, you know what, Lord? I actually like smoking. And I sat back out. Because I've always wanted to be honest with the Lord. I didn't want to play religious games. If what it is what it is. And anyway, I was the only one outside smoking that day. Didn't feel good, I have to say. Everybody was singing the songs of deliverance, and I was like... The following week, I was in my mate's house in Fightman, 27K Fightman Mansions. And me and Pat were sitting listening to an old tape, a tape of Samuel Doctorian that was in St. Mark's that week. The tape wasn't from that week, it was from a year previous when he was there. Do you get me? Because this is a week later, I listened to it, a year previous. Me and Pat are sitting there, and I had then John Player Blue, and I'm sitting there, and he sung a song. And this was the song. He, speaking about God, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, what joy filled my soul. Something happened, this I know, and made me whole. I says, Pat, there's 10 smokes, I'll never smoke again. And I got up out of that place and fight, man. I walked and went into bed. Patrice, my 31-year-old girl, was 4 at the time. Imagine, we're coming out of the bedroom, and I just remembered, Shane, I'm not going to have a smoke after my breakfast. The reality hit me. What did I say that for? Pa, will you give me my smokes back? It's on the neighbor, you know? And I walked in, and I had my tea and had my breakfast. And I've never smoked again. Why? Because I put the natural. I says, look, I looked where the cigarettes used to be on the mantelpiece. And God put something super on it. Now, I don't care if you smoke or don't smoke. That's between you and God. But I want to tell you, there's deliverance from smoke and anything else that we want. It's just being honest. We want it. Not to play religious games. By the way, at least 95% of the people that got delivered was back out smoking. Because I believed they weren't honest with God. He's not afraid of our mess. He's not afraid of us. But if we just have a desire, he puts a new song. I was with a man the other day, Gonzo. Can you imagine? I met a fella called Gonzo the other day. And he says, I'm off the drink. And he says, oh, these are next, these cigarettes. He says, do you want to smoke? He says, I haven't smoked in 27 years. Isn't that amazing? 27 years. Because I know, you know. But it doesn't matter what cigarette. That God says that day is upon you. And if we step up and stand and strike, he will put the supernatural. That can be for anything. So don't go away feeling, don't condemn him for that. No, no. There's no condemnation. If you want to stay a smoker, stay a smoker. And wreck yourself. And shorten your life. And ignore that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. For what I want to say, there's freedom in Jesus for anything. That's what I want to say. And that if we want it, we can have it. That we step up and stand up and strike at what that is trying to come against us, then we will have our victory. And if it's not today, well, that day will come upon us. As we keep just walking and believing and stepping into it. And if I fall tomorrow, I'm getting back up, because you can't shut this song up that's in us. Sin can't shut it up. It tries to shut it up. It tries to bring condemnation. But you eventually break through, because the song that's in us is greater. That where grace abounds, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. It's like incredible. It's like, here's what the Bible says. That there's a supernatural seed in you and me when we're born again. Just supernatural, sorry. It's an indestructible seed. Incorruptible seed. That's why, like, how many times have you been over? You know, you've been out of race. You thought this was it. I'm never going to move on. Or you've been so discouraged, you don't think you're ever going to get over. Hello. Just depends what day you're talking about, doesn't it, sometimes? But you're still here. Why? Because this incorruptible seed is bursting energy and life and truth and encouragement. I want to tell you, they talk of the atheism, whoever talks about the Big Bang. Wait till you ever get a hold of the seed that's in me and you. That every time I'm discouraged, there's a Big Bang. Every time I think I'm down, there's a Big Bang. I'm up again. It's like God brings all these things to collide together, and it produces a sound. Come on, worship team. And then we start singing again. Let's get the worship team back up. Let's sing a song, yeah? Father, we thank you. Let's stand. I don't know everyone's. Look at God knows. And God's going to bring you through, because he spoke to me in dream on Thursday night in dream. And a young lad brought that scripture. He had 5 minutes and he just brought that scripture. And God just, of all of that, he didn't speak on that day. But God says, no, tell the church that day is upon them. You will have your that day. You will have it. You will have it. You think about right now what you have to apply that to. And sing that to that. I will have my victory in God. I will have my day. I will be able to give thanks to God because what he has done in my life and through my life. And my barley field is growing every year. And I now see my husband serving God. I now see my children worshiping God. I now see that breakthrough coming. I now see it. And you listen to Jesus, who knows the future, and he'll tell you what's in the future, and you start singing about your future. This is the day the Lord has made. I want to tell you, there's great joy in celebrating even before the victory is here. That's what tore up the devil's mind. How can this Jesus be singing? He's not even gone to the cross yet, by the way. He hasn't even overcome death yet, by the way. And in Colossians it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Because he could see you and me. He could see the victory. He could see us coming out of darkness. He could see us being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And Jesus was endured the cross with joy. But they didn't feel that. Not that it wasn't the moments of agony. But for the joy set before him, he seen the future. He endured the cross. Wherever you're at, wherever you're praying into, wherever you're believing for, standing for, stepping up into, finding a rhythm of pace and finding a rhythm in the Holy Spirit to accomplish the job. Whatever that job is, wherever that breakthrough is needed, wherever, will you, as we sing this song, just start putting that words in somewhere? Come on, we're creative. The worship team doesn't have to do it. You can just add it in. At your name. You can add in, my enemy will bow. At your name, I will see my husband worshiping this church. Whatever it is, you get me? You're creative. You're the most creative people on the planet. Creative doesn't mean you're arty and you're able to do big drawings and praise God if you do, or write songs or poems. That's arty. But creativity is a whole different ball game. Just find out when you're playing a game or telling your kid a story. That's creativity. So don't let anyone say you're not creative. Or don't let that mind you. Well, I'm not creative. Yet you are. Creator lives in you. His breath is in you. It could be a clicking of your fingers. That's creative. I wish I could click my fingers. So start singing to it. Are you with me? No? Are you with me? Come on, let's sing. Then we can pray a prayer and have some coffee and tea. Enjoy some fellowship. Supernatural power as we sing, Lord.